The Bible is more than just a book to read. It contains God's Word for God's people in God's timing right now. Tony Broom Ministries presents the following sermon entitled, Divisions Cause Diversions.
We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirits with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. When the Spirit of God dwells among us, and He is in us, and if He is in us, that means He is among us. And when He is among us, He bears witness one with another. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And because we are sons of God, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. He has put us in the family of God. He has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And we have fellowship one with another. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin.
Amen.
There are a lot of things in this world will try to take you away from what's really important. It will try to put you on one side or the other. If you listen to the media, to the news, they will try to either make you a Democrat or a Republican. And there's used to be just two things, and now there's another one called crazy. It'll drive you crazy. That's try to make you crazy too. And some of us are already crazy for Jesus, so we don't have to be made crazy. If you listen to things on TV and even things in religion, you'll be tossed about. It's called division. Divisions cause diversions. Another way to say the word division is division. It takes away from the intended purpose or vision. You have a vision. You have a direction that you want to go. Our ultimate vision, direction, is to make it to heaven, to be with Jesus and our loved ones. That's the vision. And any division will take you away from that intended purpose. The purpose for the church here on earth is to carry out the Great Commission. That's the vision. It doesn't matter whether you say it's the preacher's vision, the bishop's vision. Most of all, it's Jesus' vision. He's the one who had the vision of the Great Commission. He gives us this direction to go into the world, to make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them all the things that I've commanded you. That's the Great Commission in a nutshell. That's the vision of the church. Any division from that is a diversion. It diverts us and takes us away from the intended purpose. Divisions cause diversions. A diversion is a distraction which takes your mind off of something more important. Like you're driving down the road and your cell phone drops in the floorboard. And you say, I've got to get that phone. And you reach down to get that phone and you run into a mailbox. Amen. Hopefully it's just a mailbox and not another car or truck.
Amen.
But what happened? You were diverted from the important thing. The important thing, brothers and sisters, was not to get that phone. Believe it or not, that's not the most important thing in a person's life.
Amen.
I know that many people think it is. I know they think that Facebook is the only book. No, the Facebook's not the only book. The Holy Book's the real book.
Amen.
But people think that that phone is the most important thing. I've got to get that phone. The important thing was to stay on the road. Keep your mind on the driving. Keep your hands on the wheel. Keep your snoopy eyes on the road ahead. That's the important thing. The unimportant thing was to get the phone. But it was a diversion. It diverted us from staying on the road. So we reach down to get the phone and we have an accident. That is a diversion. Divisions cause diversion. When you are divided, division in school is 12 divided by 4 makes 3. You have division. And so division can be good in solving a problem, but division usually takes away from something. You have 12, and 12 is not good enough, so you divide it, and now you have four or three, and you have to put it together to make 12. You had 12 to start with. The best thing to do is not divide it. Leave it alone. Don't divide it, and that way you won't have to worry about, did I make the right decision or not? Right. Like 2 + 2 = 5. You know, did I make the right decision or not? Then you worry about, did you have the right number or not? Division causes diversion. And there are all kind of divisions. Division, it takes away from the vision. Division of heart. When your heart is divided, you are going one way one day and another way another day. So many people have division of heart. Their heart is divided. They want to serve God, but they also want to go their own way. It's called perhaps being a sinner not born again, or either it's called being born again and not being sanctified. Mm-hmm. Our problem is a lot of times is that we need to die. Amen. We may have gone to the altar and say, I got sanctified, but have we died? Are we dying? I know you talk about dying as depressing, but this kind of dying that I'm talking about is not depressing. This kind of dying that I'm talking about will give you a holy heart. And without it, your heart will be divided, because you will be in Romans 7. You will be wanting to do good, and the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I don't want to do, I end up doing, because I have a divided heart. With my mind and my heart, I serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. It's a struggle. It's a division. Division causes diversion. Judges chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. This was a time of war. War divides. It is one nation or kingdom against another. And in the time of war, you cannot prosper. The economy of a nation cannot prosper as it should, because there is division. Even though we may in the natural feel like it's necessary, division causes diversion. When we are faced with a virus or pandemic, it may be necessary to put our attention on that, but it is a division. It causes division, and this division causes diversion. It diverts us from the good economy that we were experiencing. It diverts us from being the successful nation and even the church that God wants us to be. We are diverted from that because of this division that we're seeing all around us. This Deborah and Barak, they were sent on foot into the valley to accomplish this mission. And they were with Issachar. Issachar was known as those who would understand the times, those who would have a purpose to cause you to understand and be successful and prosper. But you cannot prosper because you have this division that causes diversion. You have to settle this thing about war. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart. Reuben is the firstborn of Jacob. They were called upon here to have a special purpose in this project. But Reuben had a problem to begin with. Reuben was the firstborn of Jacob. He should have and could have been the one that would inherit the birthright to take the nation into this great purpose of God to have the Messiah come into the world. Well, the Messiah still came into the world, but he came through the line of David and the tribe of Judah. But he could have come through Reuben, but Reuben had a problem. Reuben defiled his father's bed, and that was the first episode of As the World Turns. And as the stomach churns, and as the lust burns. That's what happened to Reuben. He had a problem, and he was actually, you can read Jacob's blessing, and he blessed the sons of Jacob in Genesis chapter 48, chapter 49, and he blessed his sons, and Reuben was disqualified from receiving the blessing that he could have received. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts and wrestlings of heart. When your heart is divided, you cannot accomplish that which you want to accomplish and that which God wants you to accomplish, because your heart is divided. James said, "An unstable man is unstable in all his ways." A double-minded man, he's unstable in all his ways. He vacillates back and forth between faith and doubt. One day he has faith, next time he has doubt, and doubt takes away from faith. Doubt disqualifies the effects of faith. Faith stands on God and on His Word, but doubt divides and causes diversion. It takes you away from the things of God. There were great thoughts of heart because of the divisions of Reuben. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flocks? And you can hear the flocks, you can hear the sheep. There are sheep in this world. It doesn't matter whether you have a pandemic. It doesn't matter whether you have a virus. It doesn't matter whether buildings are open or closed. There are still sheep in this world, and you can hear them. One thing about you don't know whether it's a sheep or a goat, because they all about the same. So you can't go by the way they whether it's a sheep or a goat. It's the heart that determines whether it's a sheep or a goat. Jesus put the sheep on one side, the goats on the other side. They're not on the same side, by the way. They're divided, and division causes diversion. It will take you away from the things of God. Why do you abide among the sheepcotes to hear the bleatings of the flock? They're calling out. They're saying, help us, lead us, guide us, feed us. And we say, we'll tell you what to do. We'll give you a game to play. We'll give you something to do. We'll give you an activity. But that's not what they need. It might be what they want at the time, but it's not what they need. What we need is a old-time Holy Ghost blazing preaching of the Word of God. We need the Holy Ghost to move, and we need the power of God to fall, that is, to be in our midst. He is already in us and with us. All we have to do is get under the spout and turn the spigot on and let the glory come out. He's already here to get rid of these divisions that cause diversions. And the sheep still need to be fed. Sheep don't need to be bled, they need to be fed. And the sheep are still bagged, they're still crying out for the Word of God, and nothing else will take the place of the Word of God. Yes, you can sing it, you can ring it, you can ding it, but you got to preach it, you got to teach it, you got to tell it. Amen. Word of God. Hallelujah. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. The heart cannot be divided. The heart has to be stable, and the heart doesn't say who's the preacher or what kind of church you go to. That's not really the heart. And I know people love their church, and I know people love the preacher, but that's not the big thing about the heart. The heart, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and when the mouth confession is made unto salvation, your heart has to be right with God. If your heart is right with God, doesn't matter what the name of the church is, doesn't matter who the preacher is, because the heart is right with God. When the heart is right with God, when the heart is not divided, you got a good thing going.
Amen.
Sometimes there are divisions of family. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, "Suppose ye that I am come to send peace on the earth. Do you think that I came to send peace on the earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division." If you read that, you will think, well, Jesus said he came to divide. That's not what he said. It's not him that's divided.
Right.
It's the people's response to his message that is dividing. He didn't come in his person to bring division. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, to divide the world, to make the world worse than it was. He sent his Son into the world to save the world.
Amen.
Jesus didn't come to divide us, but it's because of our response to him.
Right.
There will be now on, he says, 5 in one house, 3 against 2, 2 against 3, the father and the mother, mother and father and mother-in-law and all that. You can go down through the list.
Yeah.
It's because of the way that people feel about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The message of the gospel is the same. It's the same for the father, it's the same for the son, it's the same for the mother, it's the same for the daughter. The gospel message is the same.
Amen.
But it's our response to the gospel message that puts us on one side or the other.
Amen.
You can't sit on the fence. If you sit on the fence and you're a lady, you're going to get stuck in. If you sit on the fence and you're a man, you're really going to get messed up. So you can't sit on the fence. You got to make a stand one way or the other. You got to go with Jesus or you got to go with the devil. There ain't no other way to go. And so that's why he said, don't just think that I came to send peace on the earth and make everybody feel all right about the way they're living. Oh, no. I came rather for division, because there will be some families that will be divided, not because Christ divided them, but because they're divided because of Christ. Right. They're divided because of the message. Yes. You have people in one family. One is a preacher, one is a bootlegger. The same family, same mother and father, same genes. Well, they might have Levi's and somebody might wear something else, but I ain't talking about that. But the same blood, the same bloodline. It's because of the response of the gospel of Christ. Paul was a devil. He was doing everything he could to kill all the Christians and have everybody persecuted and slaughtered. God got a hold of his life. Same Paul, well, he wasn't the same after he got born again, but I'm talking about it was the message, his response to the message. Divisions of religion. Religion will divide you. It will toss you about. And in John chapter 7, Jesus had given that great discourse about the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit will be given to those who seek God and those who come to Him. If you thirst, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. The scripture said you'll believe on me, out of your belly, the inner being will flow rivers of living water. And this he talks about the Holy Spirit, whom God will give to those who believe on Him. Amen. Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit was not yet given. But now He is glorified and the Holy Spirit is given. And they could not understand that message. In John chapter 7 verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of Him. It was because of Him, that is not His person, but because of what He was teaching. Some received it and some rejected it. That's the same way that it's been ever since man has sinned in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
And if you can't really get a hold of that, you can see it at the cross. Here's Jesus in the middle. Oh no, I'm Tony, but anyway, Jesus is in the middle. And you got a thief on this side and a thief on that side. Both of them were thieves. One rejected Christ. If you be the Son of God, save yourself and us. That us is who he was really concerned about.
Yeah.
Really didn't care about Jesus. He cared about the us part.
Yeah.
He didn't really care about the other fellow, whether he died or not. He just wanted to be set off scot-free himself. If you're Christ, save yourself and us. And the other one said, don't you even fear God? Don't you realize we're in the same condemnation? We receive it. We deserve what we get. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then, Lord, he said, remember me when you come to your kingdom.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'll do better than that. This day, today, shall thou be with me in paradise.
Amen.
Glory to God. You got two thieves, one rejected, one received. It's the same message. It's our response to it. John chapter 9, he had healed a blind man. Now, there's nothing wrong with healing a blind man.
Amen.
Except unless you're a Pharisee. If you're a Pharisee or a Sadducee, you're so fair or so Sadducee. There's something wrong with it when you do it as far as their camp is concerned. Therefore, John chapter 9, verse 16, therefore some of them said, some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. And that's more important than healing a blind person or a lame person. You got to keep the Sabbath day. This man is not of God. If he were, he wouldn't have did that on the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them.
Right.
It was because they had response, different response to what Jesus did. When Jesus healed, whatever he did, some of them said, bring it on, bring it on. And others said, no, you're a devil, you're a Samaritan, you have a demon, all kind of accusations.
Amen.
Instead of looking at what he was doing and what he was saying and teaching and preaching and saying, glory to God, Hosanna in the highest, this is the one who was to come to save us, they were more concerned about their sacred cow, right? Moo. They would rather worship their sacred cow than to receive the Messiah into their heart. So instead of praising God for what he had done for this blind man, what he had done for so many others, they had a stipulation. They stickled about the doctrine about the Sabbath day. And Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath day. He didn't break the Sabbath day. You can do good things on the Sabbath day.
Amen.
If you have an ox or an ass and falls into a pit, you don't wait till Sunday, in their case, Sunday the next day to pull him out. You pull him out on that day.
Amen.
Well, they care more about an animal than do about a soul of man. Well, they do that now today. A lot of men care more about the dog than they do the woman. A lot of women care more about the dog than the cat than they do the husband. Cat and the dog vomit all over the floor and boo-boo all over the floor and everything else. Oh, sugar, that's all right. You let the husband leave a napkin on the counter. Oh, you know, D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Well, Jesus was teaching in John chapter 10 about the shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. You got to come to me to be saved. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. Therefore, in verse 19, there was a division again among the Jews for these sayings. They were divided because of the word of God. The word of God that he spoke to them, the words that I speak to you, their spirit and their life, they should have depended on God's word, but they allowed the word of God to divide them because of their response to it.
Amen.
You know there are divisions of church?
Yes.
We wouldn't think so. But I don't know why it surprises us so much, because there's division in church, because the church is made up of people like you and I.
Amen.
Last time I checked, I tried to look in the mirror, couldn't see much anything, but last time I did, found out I wasn't perfect. I was not perfect.
Amen.
So I am not perfect. That means I have flaws, and as long as I have flaws, there will be somebody else in the church who has flaws. That means there are divisions in the church. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Mark them. That means in the technological world, you mark means block them, unfriend them. Whatever you have to do, he said, avoid them. Mark them. There are two marks you better be aware of. One is the mark of the beast. You don't want to be here to get that. And another one is the mark of the brute. And the mark of the brute is that mark that you get before the mark of the beast comes. You get the mark of the brute. That is, in church, when you're causing trouble, there's a mark on you. He says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that you have learned. You have learned the true doctrine. You've learned the doctrine of the Father, doctrine of justification by faith in Christ alone, the doctrine of sanctification, doctrine of baptism of the Holy Spirit, doctrine of divine healing, doctrine of second coming of Christ. There's all kind of doctrines, but the Bible doctrine of Christ. You have learned the Christology. You have learned the doctrine of Christ. And anyone who goes against that causes divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that you have learned, mark them and avoid them. And Paul said, I don't just ask you to do this, but I beg you. Now, there are not many times in the Bible when you're begged to do something, but there are a few times. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And here he said, I beg you to mark those which cause divisions. If you mark them, people will know who they are. Problem is, people don't know who they are now. They think everybody's okay. There's even Christian songs written about it. I'm okay, you okay, we okay, I'm okay. Well, evidently, everybody ain't okay. Because if everybody was okay, there wouldn't be no division today. If everybody was okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, there it is again, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. He's not talking about reading something in unison. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about saying the Lord's Prayer together in unison. That's a good thing to do, but that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about articulatory pronouncing something in the same throughout the congregation. He's talking about talking the same kind of lingo.
Amen.
Talking the same kind of lingo and playing the same kind of bingo, if you will. That means that you're all going the same way. You're speaking the same thing. One is not saying Jesus is the real Messiah and the other saying he's a fake.
Right.
That's not speaking the same thing.
Amen.
One is saying the Holy Spirit fullness is just when you feel good. And the other is saying the Holy Spirit fullness and baptism is initial evidence of speaking in tongues. Somebody is saying a different thing. The Bible says that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues.
Amen.
As the Spirit gave the utterance. That is the initial evidence. It's not the only evidence. The initial evidence. That's just one example. In the church, therefore, we are to speak the same thing. When we come together, we're to have the same purpose. Not just to feel good, not just to hear some good music. That is a result that may help you get into a mode of worship. But when you're right with God, you don't have to be pumped up and picked up. Who caught up on Sunday? When you're right with God, you want to worship God.
Amen.
You're in a mind, you're in a mode of worship. When you come in that door, you're already ready to worship God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. On the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one accord in one place, and the Holy Spirit came.
Amen.
If it had been like the way it is today, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have come because they wouldn't have been ready for Him.
Right.
Chapter 3, verse 3, 1 Corinthians. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? And that means the last part of that verse. Are you not carnal and walk like the lost people in this world? That is a defamatory comment against the body of Christ to tell some in the body of Christ that you're so carnal that you're walking as if you had never been born again. You're walking as if you are still carnal men in the world, carnal women in the world. You may not be out there with your go-go boots on the dance floor, but you're acting and talking just like people in the world, and you're divided, and you don't have a common purpose. And he said, this is a mark against you. This is a disgrace when we're so carnal that we're walking like people in the world. And in chapter 11, verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. I really don't want to believe it, but I got to believe it to a certain extent, he said, for there must also be heresies among you. The heresy comes from within. The persecution comes from without. We cannot help that. That's the enemy. The persecution comes from without the church, the outside.
Amen.
Heresy comes from within. We can help that.
Yep.
God doesn't want us to have it. If there are divisions among you, like I hear and like I partly believe, the apostle said, there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. God will still have His way and approve those and make those manifest who still really want to worship Me and who still really have a heart for Me. I will make sure that they are approved. I will make sure that they are manifested. I will make sure. You don't have to worry about it. God will still see to it that His church, His true church, which is alive and well, will make it all the way home.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about that. There may be bumps in the road, and people are saying all this stuff that's going on now. The scripture said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, judge nothing before the time. That means right now, brothers and sisters, and I know there are decisions that have to be made. I know there are things that have to be done. But right now ain't the time to do nothing major. It's not the time to do major things because it's unfair to make judgments right now. We're not in a position to do that. The pandemic, the virus, the way the church has been closed down, the way the church has not even been able to get together. You can't get on Zoom and vote for a president. You can't get on Zoom and vote for a bishop or a senior pastor or some major thing like that. You can't do something like that on Zoom. It's unfair to be called on to do things like that. You cannot judge things right now. You got to wait till things get settled. You got to wait till the Holy Spirit moves. You got to wait till the power of God is able to break the hearts of men and bring people together again. You got to wait till the moving of the waters come before you can be healed. And the waters are already troubled when Jesus, he doesn't have to come in a certain season in a pool. He's here all the time, and he'll heal us. When we're ready to move, he said, let's go. Amen. We say, Holy Spirit, help us. He said, when do you want to get started? All we want to do, we need to do, is just start moving. Some people would really help them if they just get out of that easy boy chair and just start moving. Yeah. You don't have to go out of town. Lady told us she's going out of town. I said, where are you going? She said, I've got to go to Oxford. Oh, God help us. You've got to go to Oxford. You're going to go out of town. I know. Feel like a trip around the world when you go to Oxford. You go to Lewisburg. You've got to go out of town. Well, you know, we don't have to go all like that, but some of us need to just get up and move. You know, we can run in place like this. You don't have to go very far, but you got to move. Got to do something. Got to move. Don't judge nothing. Don't wait until you get real tired at night. You and your husband, or you and your children, you try to have a major discussion about something you ought to do. That's not the time to do it. You'll end up doing something you shouldn't do. Somebody get mad. Somebody get their feelings hurt. Why? Because you're trying to do something at the wrong time. Now, the time that we're living in our nation, we cannot do things in our nation like we used to do. But there'll come a time, and it's coming back. Some of the businesses are opening. But you can't do certain things. Now's not the time. And there are times in church like that. You can't do things. And when things doesn't happen like they should, like you think they ought to, you cannot judge the church. Don't judge the church right now. Because we're doing the best we can. And we're all together in love. I would dare say that everybody in this place today is in one accord. We're in love. We're in love with Jesus, and we love each other. Amen. Even if you don't love me, you got to like me pretty good. I mean, we love each other. God is in our hearts. The love of God is spread abroad in our hearts. He shed the love of God in our hearts. You cannot help but love people when you get right with God. Amen. He comes into your heart, and he puts love in your heart, and you got to love. Amen. You're going to love people. You might tell your son or your daughter, I'm going to slap you in the name of Jesus, but I still love you. Feel like squeezing the daylights out of them sometimes. But you love them. And you would frail them, but you better than nobody else better not frail them. Well, that was a little different when I came up with. Your neighbor could whoop you, your uncle could whoop you, your mama could whoop you, your aunt, auntie could whoop you, your aunt could whoop you. Somebody didn't even know could whoop you if you wasn't doing right. You know what? You can't do that now, and that's what's wrong with our children. Nobody whips them. Nobody makes them mind. Well, I'm going to quit now because I'm going to be meddling before instead of preaching. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand, please. Father, thank you for the opportunity to have this word. Lord, we thank you that we do not have to be divided. We can stand together in one accord. And we know, Lord, today by this word that divisions do cause divergence. Help us not to be diverted. Help us to not to be taken away from the purpose that you've given us. Not to be sidetracked. Not to be carried away with divers winds of doctrine and things that would carry us away. The sleight of men and cunningness and craftiness whereby they would lie in wait to deceive. Help us to grow up into the head in all things who is Christ. We thank you for it. I pray that you would encourage the hearts of your people all throughout this world. And many would be saved today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Bible sermon entitled Divisions Cause Diversions. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You know Him as your Lord today. Love Him. Follow Him. Serve Him. And He'll be with you to keep you from the traps and snares of the evil one. This has been a production of Tony Broome Ministries.